Hare Krishna. Welcome. Today is the full moon, the Purnima of in the Sharad season, when Krishna and the gopis dance the rasa dance by the light of the full moon. So it's a very, very auspicious day, thereby fulfilling the desires of the souls who were in the bodies of the gopis and had practiced austerities and penances and tapas for many, many lifetimes in order to achieve this exalted birth of being in close proximity in a very intimate fashion with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it possible for us to get close to Krishna? Yes. How close? How close do you want to be? Some people are close if it's across the room.
It's close enough for me.
Depends. What kind of relationship do you want with God, with Krishna? The one you want, the one you envision, the one you desire most in your heart of hearts. That's the one you can have. It just takes a little time, some dedication, and bringing Krishna close to you. Krishna has a greater desire to be close to you than you have to be close to him. No offense. Because if your desire was as powerful as his, you'd be with him now, and you'd see him. And your intimate relationship, a friendship or service or parental or conjugal, would already be happening. So I'm not going to talk about the rasa dance today. Just wanted to acknowledge it. I entitled this talk, Truth. And I have a few choice quotes here that I'd like to share with you. Apparently there's a big festival going on at Govindadweep today. And that's where many Prabhus have gone, no doubt. Here's a quote from the Vishnu Purana. It is truth alone by which the universe is maintained. Great quote. Now, I've discussed this with you several times. Universe. Uni. One. Verse. Truth. Even says, in the English word, one truth. How do all the planets stay in orbit? Because they're all harmonizing with the one truth. And if they didn't, what would happen? We'd have planets falling out of orbit, wouldn't we? That wouldn't be good. So it's how do we get to a place where we too will harmonize. We will synthesize. We will be sympathetic with that one truth, that one note that represents the universe and represents all creation subsequently. In order to do this, we must daily, a step at a time, take a step closer to our own truth, to becoming truthful, honest with yourself, with others, to step into greater integrity. Integrity means honesty. We know that. Integrity is a much better word, because integrity comes from the word integrated. Things that are integrated work in a harmonious way, right? What is the opposite of being integrated, my friends?
Disintegrated.
Falling apart. Isn't that what that means? In our world, if we become too disintegrated, what do we get? What happens to us? Happens to so many people. They get what?
Lost.
Sorry?
Lost.
Lost? Well, that's a good answer. It's an excellent answer. They get lost. They get bewildered. They get confused. They get diseased. Don't we? What do you think disease is? Oh, I just came down with something. Or the doctor said I had this, or the test showed that. I am sympathetic. But is also a symptom of being out of harmony. Right? Of disintegrating. In a perfect state of health, we are integrated, are we not? And we go and we do whatever we do, and we go here and we go there, and we don't even think twice about it, do we? Normally. Until we get sick. Or something happens, or I hurt my leg, or I mean any one of a million things, as we all know. So we need to become integrated and remain so. And each day become more and more conscious and more aware of that. Now this quote is attributed to the Buddha. I don't know if the Buddha said it. He said, there are only two mistakes one can make along the path to truth and enlightenment. Only two mistakes you can make. Well, that simplifies it, huh? The first is not starting, not getting on the path to begin with. And the second is not finishing. If you don't start, you can't get on the path, therefore you cannot finish. And once you started, it's helpful if we finish. Sometimes we procrastinate. This must be one or two of us in the crowd here that tends to procrastinate. I can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow will be good. In fact, the day after might be better. We can procrastinate. So, if we don't finish, if we don't become fully self-realized in this lifetime, is the time we spent getting closer to God, praying, chanting, meditating, doing yoga practice. Here we practice bhakti yoga, yoga of love and devotion. Is that time then wasted if we do not achieve full self-realization at the end of this lifetime? Yes or no?
No.
No. No. Any time and effort you put into your spiritual practice and you accumulate or you develop your sukriti or your punya, your good fortune, your good karma from spiritual practice, that goes with you into the next life. And in the next life, at some point in time, you will again, that will be reawakened to you and you will pick up where you left off. That's what will happen. Okay, so it's never a waste. Here's another quote. This actually came from a meditation I had in the outback in Australia many years ago when I was with this Aboriginal elder sleeping under eucalyptus trees, hoping the brown snakes didn't find us in the middle of the night. And I had this meditation one morning. When you're with an Aboriginal elder, you get real close to the earth very quickly. That's their whole thing. Earth-based culture. And Mother Earth, in the meditation, raised herself up from her endless toil. And wiping her brow with the back of her hand, she smiled at one of her many children and candidly said, "I can bear any heavy burden except a person who is incapable of speaking the truth." I thought that was, to me, that was a revelatory statement. It's just, what is the very least we could do to be in harmony with our Mother, the Earth? To tell the truth. To speak the truth. Right? Here's another quote from the Vedas. "Among four-legged animals, the cow is supreme." Why is the cow supreme? She's the mother of all. Cow is the mother. Cow is sacred in Vedic culture, in Vedanta, in Hinduism, because she is a symbol of the mother. She gives milk. Her milk is suitable for human babies after they finish breastfeeding with their mothers. Has been done for thousands of years. Now I realize in this day and age people are allergic to dairy and milk products, and they don't take care of the cows in dairy farms. They turn them into industrial objects. They don't look after them with love. Cows are very sensitive to that, by the way. And they shoot them full of what? Antibiotics, antivirals, various kinds of drugs to do this, to improve that or diminish that. Huh. That's what happens in this day and age. So that's why we have a hard time digesting milk in the modern era. There's a reason for it. Anyway, cow is the mother. Symbols are important. Each country has a flag, and that flag is a symbol of the country, its people, its culture, everything. No? People salute the flag, do they not? 21 gun salute. The army shoots the guns. They have all these parades and festivities, and the leaders of the country are there, and all the people, because the flag is a powerful symbol of each and every country. Symbols have power, they have energy. They're not just, oh, well, there's a picture of a flag. That may be all it is to you, but to somebody else, it may mean everything. So the cow also can be a symbol by the same token. Hmm? Among metals, gold is foremost because since it is the most pure, gold is the purest metal. It's considered to be a... what's the word I'm looking for? It's a spiritual metal. It's not mundane. It's interesting how gold works, no? People get really, really confused around gold. Have you noticed that? You know, historically, you get, you know, a little bit of gold here, and this is okay. Not too much confusion. You start piling it up there on the table. People start getting very confused. Why? Because gold's a negative thing? No. It's not a negative thing. Because their motivation isn't what?
Pure.
Isn't pure. Greed comes in. Greed, manipulation, lying, cheating, thievery. Oh, I need to have this. because unless, if gold is a pure metal and it's a spiritual metal, which it is, then a person who is in charge of gold must be vibrating on that level. Because if they're vibrating below that level, they will be consumed by that gold. And they'll get what's famously called gold fever. Then you get crazy. Right? How many stories are there of that? You could be reading them all night long if you want to look them up on the internet. Among words, mantras are most effective since they connect us to the Godhead. Mantra is not sound vibration. It is spiritual sound vibration. Sanskrit mantra is spiritual sound vibration. It's not mundane. It can lift your consciousness. It can purify your lower nature. And it can place you at the feet of God, of Krishna. Mantra is very powerful, very important. What do? Here we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's called the Maha Mantra. Why is it called the Maha Mantra? That means the greatest mantra. Why? Because that's the one that can get you placed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why. So we recommend that you chant on your beads, chant as you walk down the street, chant on the bus, on the loose, whatever. Try to chant. Try to remember. You don't have to make it a big production. It can be any time in the day. Anytime. Among people, enlightened persons are the best because they reflect the truth. The more enlightened you become, the more realized you become, the closer you become to the truth. So we know we have His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is the founder of Krishna consciousness, who brought it to the West in 1965. I've been blessed by having him as my guru. So he has given all of us a method by which we can advance spiritually, we can learn, we can evolve, and we can get closer to getting off the wheel of repeated birth and death. Samsara. Here's another quote. The weapon of a child is crying. The weapon of an adult is criticism. The weapon of a thief is lying. And the weapon of a sage is truth. Well, we all tested out the crying bit when we were little, I think, as babies. And if you have a baby, that's how the baby gets your attention. Works every time. Very loud and persistent. The weapon of the adult is criticism. An adult can do a lot of damage with criticism. Sharp words. Harsh words. No. The weapon of a thief is lying. Well, the thief is never ever going to tell you the truth about anything. About his name, about where he lives, about anything. If he can help it. And the weapon of the sage is truth. So what's the greatest weapon of all those weapons? And why would we even call it a weapon? Because it can slash through the darkness. It can slash through bewilderment, confusion, being lost. So how do we get around that? We all suffer that from time to time. Bewilderment, confusion, feeling lost in life. And not saying that you can't resort to some material solutions. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. But they will be temporary, my friends. Always temporary. You want an eternal solution to your problem of the existential malaise? I've talked about this. You know this psychological term, existential malaise, or philosophical term? You know what that is? That means that's the existential malaise as demonstrated by me. Existential malaise is because you're existential, you're existing here in this material world, and you go, you have days like that? Oh yes, we all have. Hopefully not very often. For people who have depression, they have them a lot, for example. So we need to get out of here. I urge you. So we need to look for solutions that will be eternal. Just like we're eternal. Our souls are eternal. So you want to put a temporary patch on the problem, or do you want to solve it? Once and for all. Your choice. A leader whose nature is ruled by delusion is praised by criminals and dark forces. Have you seen any examples of that? There are many dictators who are dark characters who feed off the people and give them little or nothing in return. A leader whose nature is ruled by personal desire. I just want to get somewhere in life. I'm looking out for me. Numero uno. Number one. I have a career. I'm on a career path. So that's the kind of person we're talking about. Whose nature is ruled by personal desire is praised by materialistic persons. People whose goals are primarily material in nature, not saying there's something wrong with you having material goals, but I'm talking about highly materialistic people that want to achieve their goals at any cost. Like most of the politicians in power, my friends, there's your excellent example if you need one. Most of them are like that.
Machiavellian.
And they're Machiavellian. Yeah. Is praised by materialistic persons. Materialistic people want to worship or follow other materialistic people. Makes sense. A leader whose nature is ruled by truth is praised by wise and enlightened beings. That's what we aspire to here. To develop our wisdom and look for enlightenment. This is a very good one. This is also from the Vedas. The power that comes from speaking the truth or being true to your word over time. Speaking the truth, being true to your word, is not only that you can be depended upon to speak the truth, but that your words actually come true. Do you understand this concept? The more you speak the truth, the more you're raising your vibration. And I don't mean to speak the truth in a harsh way, in a hurtful manner. The more you speak the truth, the more it raises your vibration. Because this is, remember, the universe. then after time, because you always speak the truth, then when you speak or you bless somebody or you wish them well, have a good day, or I hope you're successful in your career, or I hope you feel better tomorrow, whatever it may be, then those words can actually carry the power of a blessing. They can be suffused with prana. What does that mean? Energy. Prana is life force. We have breath. Within the breath is prana. It's not the same as breath. It is carried by the breath. And we need breath to speak. I have to use breath. Right? So prana in Sanskrit and in Chinese, what do they call it?
Qi.
Qi. We all know that. We've all heard that. Okay? So your words begin to become suffused with prana. And that means they can have a much more powerful effect on people and circumstances simply by speaking. Believe me, this is how it works. So, we want to work toward that, don't we, my friends? So, the words actually come true, they come to pass. This could take the form of a prediction, a blessing, or a curse directed at yourself or at others. Four kinds of people. You know them. Some people like to talk about what? Things. Stuff. Cars. Anything under the sun. Stuff. Oh, where'd you get that? What'd that cost? Oh, yeah, you customized that? Oh, tell me about that. Is there anything wrong with talking about things? No. But that's all they like to talk about. Some people like to talk about other people. Met any of them? Come on, let's sit down. Let's catch up. Let's have a coffee. What's so-and-so doing? Let me tell you about so-and-so. I knew that was going to happen. I told you this last year. We call it gossip. Is that a good expenditure of your time? No. Some people like to talk about ideas. See how it's... Now we're going up. Things, people, ideas, discoveries, science, philosophy, psychology, politics, art, music, technology, so many things. And some people like to talk about the highest truth. God. Your relationship to God. It's the questions that most of you have asked yourselves, otherwise I don't know why you're here exactly. At some point in your life. Who am I? I mean, what is this about? What am I supposed to be doing? I mean, why am I here? How did I get in this circumstance? Some of it's okay, and some of it's not so good. I mean, what am I supposed to do? There must be a reason. There must be an intention. There must be a point to all this, right? I'm sure those questions have come across your mind. When we get to that point and we actually not just think about it and do nothing, because most people don't do anything because they're looking at everybody else, they're not asking themselves those questions. Keep your head down and go to work. Okay. Don't make waves. Yeah. When we come to that point, then your life begins. No offense, my friends, that's actually the beginning of your life. Going forward. Yeah. Sincerely, it is. This is nice. Spiritual consciousness here in the material world is like a crystal clear pond with fine black silt covering the bottom. The water's clear. When the pond is clear, only spirit, truth, and right action can possibly be expressed. When you have clarity of mind, when you have clarity of heart, of emotion, when you have clarity of intention, when you have clarity of purpose, only then can the truth be fully expressed. When self-motivated material desires arise in your pond, it is similar to the stirring up of the pond, whose clarity then becomes clouded with the black silt. Right? It's not that you can't have material desires. I mean, we're here. We've got material bodies. We have to maintain them. We have to work. We have to look after our loved ones. We have to go and buy stuff at the store. We have to do things for people. And that's why we're here. So is there a problem with that? No. But first you need to figure out your life purpose. Why are you here? If you're clear on that, this is who I am, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I'm doing in life, this is how it fulfills me as an individual, and it makes a contribution to the world around me. This is the win-win situation. Good for me, good for everybody else, right? If we're living a life like that, we're doing all right, okay? When our material desires are too self-centered, we are too self-absorbed, and we don't really care about them or what we do for them or whether we do anything for them to contribute, that's what the stirring up of the pond means. It's when the ego comes in, when the ego is behind things instead of the true self. A true leader learns to emulate the five elements of nature. The five physical elements of nature. What are they? Of the creation. Tell me. What are they? Earth, water, fire, air, space, Akash, ether. Correct. Those are the five elements. The earth. Like the earth, he provides fertile ground for all those around him and encourages their growth and development. Instead of criticizing people, putting them down, laughing at them, telling them they're wasting their time, or telling them, oh, you will never be able to do that. Come on. Instead of talking like that to them, the more you encourage others, I mean genuinely, not artificially. Artificially is no good. The more you genuinely encourage others or even give them some positive feedback or positive criticism so that they can improve and thereby helping them along the way on their path, guess what happens with that kind of energy, my friends? What goes around comes around. This comes back to you over and over and over again. Believe me. If you haven't tried it, please try it out. Because I know it does. The more you give to others, the more it will come back. Not from that same person? No, not necessarily. It doesn't have to come back from the same person. This is the universe. It can come back from any direction, any quarter, any person, any circumstance, right?
Have you ever heard instant karma?
I have heard of instant karma. Yeah, I find that instant karma happens to more evolved souls. I don't think it happens too much to the lesser evolved souls. And the reason I think that is because the more evolved souls are almost off the wheel of repeated birth and death. Perhaps this is their last life. So when they do something they shouldn't do, something, say something or do something, they may get to see, normally whatever you do in this lifetime, you do not get the reaction in the same lifetime. All of that is given to you in your next life. The results of your positive actions, your negative actions, and your mixed actions are all given to you in your next life. That's how it works. What you're running on in this life is the results of what you did in the previous lifetime. So instant karma would give a soul an opportunity to clear something that just happened, especially if he's almost at the goal. He's almost reached the goal. Does that make sense? Okay, now water. Like water, he quenches the thirst for those seeking love and understanding. Water, emotions. Emotions is water. Earth is physicality. Water is emotion and feeling. Sarasvati, goddess of learning, patron of the arts. What's her name? Sarasvati. Saras means water. It means that which flows. It means the essence of something. The essence of food is the juice in the food. For example. So Sarasvati is someone who possesses that pure essence. So as we give love and understanding toward others, then that, of course, will come back to us as well. So that's water, fire, Agni. Earth is Bhumi, water is Apa. There's many words for water. Apa is one. Fire, Agni. Like fire, he shines brightly, offering enlightenment and inspiring dynamic action all around him. Inspiring people. Motivating people, exciting them, getting them to move, getting them to get up and do something or fulfill a desire that they've been keeping in the back of their minds for the longest time, but they haven't got around to it yet. Sometimes a couple of words from the right person will motivate you. And off you go. When I heard Prabhupada and read his Bhagavad Gita, his translation of the Bhagavad Gita back in 1972 changed my life. My life went off in a whole new direction. That's an example. Wind, Vayu, Like the wind, he clears the air of confusion and makes his breath the vehicle for words of truth. Makes his breath the vehicle for words of truth. Because his breath is suffused with the prana.
Feel the difference. You can feel the energy in truth. There is a light energy to truth.
Absolutely.
And it makes us happy. You
know? Yeah, it's transformational. Absolutely right. Some truths are more powerful than others.
The absolute is quite hurtful, though, isn't it?
Hmm?
The absolute is quite hurtful at first.
Exactly true. That's on page 2. You're ahead of me. I think you're seeing my pages from where you're sitting. See, he's on the wavelength now. Well done, my friend. Well done. So, the last one, space, Akash, ether. Like space, he provides a place for everything, yet is attached to nothing. A spiritual person could own all kinds of things, could be in charge of multi-millions of dollars, of whatever, but not attached to it. If it all changes tomorrow, it came and went. How adaptable are you to change? Oh, we're adaptable to small change. We're adaptable to the seasons changing. Although, I know many of you don't like it because it's getting colder. But what happens when the big changes come? What happens when we lose the job? When we get laid off? When our relationship ends? When our loved one is suffering or ill? These are difficult times for us. I'm not saying it won't affect you. But whatever happens, no matter how difficult it gets at that moment, or how long that moment may last, you always, my friends, must come out the other end. Whatever trial, test, or difficulty you are being put through in your life is there for you to learn something. Why are you punishing me like this? After all I did for you. No. The more difficult it is, the bigger the lesson. I'm not saying you won't get angry and frustrated and resentful. I'm not saying that.
A little bit tired.
A little tired. You must come out the other end and continue to go. I feel empathy for, I see a woman on the news and her child has been killed. It's very sad. It's very tragic. And you can see her pain. You could feel it. And then she says, my life is over. My life is now over. It has ended. No, it's not over. Your life is still going on. No matter how difficult this may be, you must come out the other end of that at some point, however long it takes, and continue on your journey. You have to do that. Very important. Three kinds of people. An enlightened person seeks to discover the truth. We always really want to know the truth. One of my challenges in life is trying to figure out the truth when I watch politicians talk. How much of that is true? Is any of it true? Is it all a pack of lies? But that's me. So I'm always looking for the truth. An unenlightened person seeks to be heard while ignoring others. Do you know anybody like that? They talk and talk, and you're listening, and then you try to reply. You know, you try to get a little word in, maybe a sentence or make a comment. No room for that. They just talk right over you, and they just grind it out. Have you experienced that? Yeah, me too. And an ignorant person seeks to be recognized as being right, irrespective of the real truth, while proving everybody else wrong. Then it comes down to right and wrong, black and white, left and right, fat and thin, ugly, beautiful. It's the dualities. Is there anything that is black and white that you've ever seen in your life besides black and white paint? Nothing's black and white. Everything has shades, my friends. Shades, subtleties, everything. There's no need to be right and in the process prove somebody else wrong. Yeah, I proved you wrong, didn't I? I was right, you were wrong. Oh, well, that changes everything, doesn't it? You know, it's a need to be right, to stretch out your ego. Hey, look at me. I won, okay? You lost. It's that attitude. I dare say there are some world leaders not far from us that are acting a lot like that these days. This is beautiful. This is from the Vidura Niti. Vidura Niti, you will find in the Mahabharata. Vidura, very, very wise man. Very wise. It is easy to find people who say what others want to hear. But it is the rare person who speaks words that are disagreeable, but at the same time create healing in the heart of the listener. Speaks words that are disagreeable, but at the same time create healing in the heart of the listener. This person is hard to find. Such a person who speaks words that uphold virtue or dharma increases strength and truth in the hearts of his listeners. So, speaking words that are disagreeable means sometimes telling the truth, and it's a truth that somebody doesn't want to hear. I don't mean in terms of being cruel. Some people need to know things that they are not recognizing, they're choosing not to recognize, or they're ignoring the facts. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 15, austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature and mantra. You may say, well, you know, I don't really have comfortability with the mantras, except for maybe the Hare Krishna mantra, which is pretty simple. Then just pray. Use your own words. You don't have to use mantras. Mantras are a special sound vibration. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not hard to do. But the books are full of wonderful mantras, and some people are inclined to pronounce them, and others are not. That's all. And it's fine, one way or the other. This quote is attributed to Lord Ram, Ramachandra. It comes from the Padma Purana. It's a very interesting one. There is no morality which is devoid of truth. So if you have something, you call it moral or you call it morality, but it's not true. It's not morality. That's that statement. Any element of duplicity or deceit cannot exist alongside truth. Duplicity and deceit cannot exist alongside truth. Any member of an assembly who knows the real truth but neglects to properly speak up is no different than a liar. Wow. Supposing you're in a court of law and this person that is in the dock is being accused of a crime that you know he did not commit. But you don't say anything. You're just sitting in the audience waiting to see what's going to happen. Huh? The truth must come out. A person who refrains from speaking the truth due to his own self-interest, fear, or anger is a karmically condemned man. It is the duty of one who knows the truth to speak up and reveal it. Spoken by Lord Ram. This is from the Bhagavatam. My dear King, King Rahugana, there are many processes to understand the absolute truth. But the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. We have to win the mercy or the favor of a great devotee. What does that mean? That means somebody who's genuinely close to God. Somebody for whom his relationship to God, or her relationship to God, is everything. It's like suppose you want to get close to a very powerful man because you know that that person could help you in your career or get a job or some sort of opportunity that you're looking for, right? But you don't know the man, he doesn't know you, and he's not that easily approachable. But there's a person, say his friend, and who knows him intimately. So then you may approach that friend and ask if that person will put in a word for you to this powerful man, so that perhaps you can win his favor in whatever way you're choosing. You follow me? It's the same idea with a great devotee, with a pure devotee, like Prabhupada. By being close to somebody like that, we can get much closer to Krishna much more quickly. Because he'll put in the word for us. You see, that's how it works. Here is a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. One who liberally disseminates transcendental knowledge, speaks freely about transcendental knowledge. Relative truth we have here in the material world. Like I said, the dualities. You know, everything's relative here, depending who you are. Black, white, rich, poor, fat, thin. It's all relative. In the spiritual world, the truth is the absolute truth. It's not relative. It transcends all of this. So when we speak about the absolute truth, we speak about the truth that is eternal in nature and can free us from the shackles of repeated birth and death. That's what absolute truth means. So for one who disseminates transcendental knowledge among my devotees is the bestower of the absolute truth. In other words, he's giving, he's offering knowledge of the absolute truth. And to him I give my very own self, Krishna says. To him I give my very own self. So what does that mean to you? A few words of enlightenment and encouragement, especially if they involve the absolute truth. In other words, spiritual truth, eternal truth. And help people subsequently, that will get you closer and closer to God. You'll get noticed by the big man with the blue complexion and the flute. Well, he could be a big man, could be a small man. He can be whatever size he likes. Huh? Okay, wrapping it up. To your point, my friend, you know this, and the truth shall set you free. We know this, right? This is a common statement. The truth shall eventually set you free. Right away, as soon as you hear a truth, that's going to set you free. Ooh, hang on a second. But first, it may make you really, really angry when you find out certain truths. What? He did what? No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. There's various kinds of truths. So now you get angry. Either because you didn't recognize it yourself to begin with, or because you've now realized that someone's been lying to you all along. Right? So the truth shall set you free, but it could upset you initially, depending what the truth is. The absolute truth should not be too upsetting. Yeah, I know it's a little beyond some of you, but many others, you're used to thinking about it and hearing about it. And my last statement. One day life approached death. Life asked death, why do people love me but hate you? Great question. And death replied, because you are a beautiful lie, and I am a painful truth. Now, why would death say life is a beautiful lie? Because it ends in death every time. Life down here ends in death. Oh, you don't think you're on death row? We're all on death row, friends. You can walk back and forth in your cell. In fact, you can walk down the street. You're free. It's coming. Believe me. And because death, I am a painful truth. Yeah? Huh? That's it. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. Much appreciated. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
If you say death is a reality, so how can we get overcome of that fear of death?
There are many, many dimensions of life. This is only one dimension. This is a three-dimensional world that we live in. But there are dimensions. This is the middle planets, earthly planets. There are higher planets, heavenly planets, and lower planets, hellish planets. And there are dimensions, multi-dimensions, that are all around us that we can't see. Just like we think of going to the spiritual world like going up there. We're going to go up to the spiritual realm. The spiritual world is all around us. We just cannot tune in to the frequency. It's a question of tuning into a frequency. So what happens at death? We are in this bubble. This bubble of our lives, this frequency of the material world that we are on, yeah, at some point it's going to go, it's going to pop. And guess what? You won't be in this frequency anymore. You'll go into the next one. You mean you have to travel somewhere? No, it's right there. It's like you exited one bubble and entered another one. That's all it is. That's all death is. It's not some big traumatic thing. It doesn't have to be. And the more conscious you are, and the closer you are to God, then, I mean, what is the fear? The fear is, this body's over. By that time, your body might be old and decrepit. And you're going like, oh, thank God. This thing's not working at all anymore. You know? It might be a breath of fresh air. How many of us have our parents and loved ones, older people? They're suffering. We just as soon see them go as to live a life like this. We don't want to see them in pain. You know? So, does that answer that for you?
I just wanted to say that when my father passed away, I felt that he was more alive dead than when he was alive.
I'm sure that's true.
2 years of his life.
Yeah.
I could actually feel him coming through me, helping me organize his own funeral.
There you go. Organize his own funeral. From beyond the grave. I love it.
I didn't have the birth cycle of life and death. You were saying the repeat birth and death. Do you reckon that's a new life cycle or a death cycle to transcend it?
I don't know if I understand your question.
So you were saying the transcendence of life and death, the repeated birth cycle.
Yeah.
Would that be a cycle coming into a new life force, or would that be a cycle of...
That's going, becoming the spiritual being that you are.
So it's in the moment.
Yeah, and then there's no more birth and death. Then you're in the eternal now.
Yeah.
The past, present, and future exists here, down here. It does not exist in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's now. That's it. So, you know, it's a whole... It's sometimes a little hard to wrap our minds around because look where we are. You know. But yeah, we're meant to get off the wheel of repeated birth and death.
If you were to choose, though, which would you reckon it would be, a life or a death? In that repeated, in transcending your repeated.
Well, you can become realized while you're still in this body. You can be fully self-realized. That is possible. But, you know, I don't know how you feel about your bodies. I mean, I've gotten a decent body in my lifetime. I'm not complaining. I don't like it. It's too dense. It's too gross. It's too... I feel the heavy weight of it with my soul inside. I'm going, I got to keep dragging this thing around, you know? maybe it's just my age, because I'm an old guy now, but I sort of can't wait to get out of this body. You know, not in a negative way. Just like, okay, when are we going? You know.
Well, we hear that so often in such a negative context, I think. You know, when companies get out of here, it sounds like you want to commit suicide.
Yeah, well, but then you have to look at the intent. What's the intent behind it? The intent behind it for me is I want to go live in the spiritual world. That's my intent. I'm not depressed. But people who are depressed, by the way, suicide, God bless these people. If you think you're escaping with suicide, guess where you go? Where does the suicide go when they finish off their life? They go to a place where other suicides are. A limbo. A bardo. Where other suicides exist. Now they are all together in the same frame of mind. Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. That's what happens. It's no bargain. Why? Because your state of mind goes with you. Your subtle body travels with you. What's your subtle body? Manas, buddhi, ahankar. Mind, intellect, ego. It goes with you. Your state of mind goes with you. If you're in a bad state of mind, you might go out for, I don't know, to a concert or to this or that. You're not going to enjoy it if you remain in that state of mind. Yes or no?
No.
You can only be as happy or as miserable as you are until you shift it.
And just another thought on that, because it's something I've been thinking about for a while.
Changing bubbles, or?
Well, I suppose changing bubbles, yeah. It's on that topic, yeah. So we'll just go to a different bubble. That's what you're saying.
Yes, but not by becoming a killer of the body.
Don't we have to appreciate where we are now?
Yes, we have to appreciate where we are. Do you think just because you've ended your life through suicide, oh, I'm scot-free now, I'm off, you know, I mean, no, there's these things that have been left undone and not completed. You think you're not going to have to come back and complete those things? Tell me what happens when you go to school and you miss 3 months of class for some reason. Do you not have to make it up somehow? Maybe they hold you back in that same grade for another year. Right? There's no, you skip over it and it's gone. No, it doesn't work like that. Okay. All right.